Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is Episode 15, Council Candidate Forum, Craig Isom, Cedar City.
All right. Welcome back to Color Country Politics. I am Jenny Hendricks, here with Jesse Harris.
Howdy.
And we are beginning our series of city council candidates. And today we've got Craig Isom, who has announced and officially filed.
This very morning.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It would be for a second term and my last term. But.
All right, you heard it here, folks.
So if you got any punches to throw, get them in now. Right. Yeah,
there you go.
Well, Craig, let's start just by having you tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I am a refugee from California. I moved here over 15 years ago and came to start a second career teaching.
Okay.
I had spent 26 and a half years professionally with a large international CPA firm, Arthur Anderson,
okay.
LLP, worked in their small business division for all that, those years, and got to help smaller companies grow and go and succeed, hold their hands as they went through growth phases, and it was just a compelling professional career. I came here to teach accounting, but when the opportunity to run the Small Business Development Center became available, that's what I decided my true passion was, to work with small businesses and help them succeed, help them marshal the resources they need to be successful. And so I took the position as director of the Small Business Development Center.
How long have you been there?
I was deciding that this morning because I had to put it into a proposal for funding from Governor's Office of Economic Development. 13 years.
Wow, okay.
So okay. I taught for a couple and then went into the Small Business Development Center. And that has since expanded into the SUU Business Resource Center, which is a kind of an overarching sponsoring entity that marshals resources like the Small Business Development Center, the Procurement and Technical Assistance Center, SCORE. We house the Chamber of Commerce. We have the Women's Business mm-hmm. Center mm-hmm. there. We have SCORE counselors. So it's a kind of a one-stop shop mm-hmm. for small companies, for any company really, wherever they may be in their life cycle. We'll help them at startup. We'll help them to wind things down with succession planning. We'll help them in the middle to raise capital to grow. But we're there to try and be all things to small business.
Now, I think that we want this to be all about Craig, but I have to say, I think that is one of the best kept secrets, your Small Business Development Center out there. And we do need to have Craig back to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because it's just a tremendous resource for this community.
And you have labeled it perfectly. We are the best kept secret in town. And those who have come and used our services, and maybe you get what you pay for, they're free. but there are so many great services available and resources available that are not fully utilized yeah. just because we are a well-kept secret. So well, I would love to come back.
Yeah, we're going to have you back on and we'll take some time and really explore that because I think that is definitely worth, sort of publishing and publicizing and, yeah. and getting that out there.
Well, thank yeah. you. Yeah, I would love to do that.
So
why are you deciding to run for city and council again? I mean, normally that's a sign of not being quite right in the head.
and I've had that reaction. I am running again for actually the same reasons I ran the first time. To continue the good things that we've tried to do in the last 3.5+ years. I think that this city is just a gem, a wonderful place to come and work and play and raise a family and to live in peace and relative harmony. We've had discussions in the last few years that have created a disharmony and a disunity in the public. But this is a great place to live. And it's going to grow. It needs to grow. You don't ever want a community that is stagnant. There's no such thing. You are either progressing and growing or you are liquidating systematically.
It's a treadmill. If you aren't moving forward, you're moving backwards.
That's exactly right. And I think that I have the skill set to help with that kind of planning and progression. There are projects like our fiber network that we have just barely touched the surface of that I really want to move forward. I think the underpinning of a very successful economy is technology. I think you have to have a foundational technology to be successful as an economy. And we don't have resources, broadband resources, that we need that are adequate to that foundational strength in technology. And I that's one of those things that I want to continue to develop.
I'm guessing a lot of small businesses come to you and say, hey, we're really lacking for resources in this.
They are. Neighbors as well. but well, if I named my carrier, I could give them a tagline that they wouldn't appreciate.
yeah, I think a lot of people locally feel the same way.
Most people never say kind things about the phone or cable company.
It's just sad. There are communities like Escalante and Kanab that have better broadband than we do.
Wow.
And that's just wrong.
Yeah.
That's just wrong. So I want the other thing is to see through the planning for that growth. And broadband is one of them. Transportation is another key one. I just want to be a part of that, and I want to financially prepare ourselves to do some of the things that haven't been done, that we've missed the opportunity to do in the past. Things as simple as a field house with gyms. Mm-hmm. We are completely reliant on the school district to provide us with gyms for activities that are used by young people and adults alike, and we have no city facilities for that kind of thing. The ice skating rink, following that through, I've been involved in that for the last couple of years, traveled around the state to see what's happening elsewhere. Mm-hmm. That's a neat part of the community, and I want to see those projects through. So that's pretty much why I have thrown my hat in the ring again. And I don't know. I think this is the very best form of government because it is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
We are doing things that have immediate and very specific local impact. Mm-hmm. And things can happen at the state level. Things can happen back in Washington. But we can make an impact here as citizens. And that's why.
I always call it the throttle factor. If you don't like what the city's doing, you can reach out and throttle someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you can go sit right in front of them.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I've been throttled.
yeah.
Repeatedly over the past few years.
So,
but that's really fundamentally why I'm doing it. I I will admit that prior to running last time, I was a mushroom, very quietly in the dark, and not part of what was going on in the community. And this has opened my eyes, and it has been a very positive thing in my life to get energized about what's going on in the community, to become a community partner and really listen to what people are concerned about and strive to be their representative. So some would call me a glutton for punishment. some would just simply say thank you and let's go forward and work on some of those things.
That's great. Yeah. What, in your mind, is the city doing well?
I think, well, first of all, I think we have probably one of the most accomplished small police forces anywhere in the country. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way about our fire department. We have great leadership in both of those departments and incredible people who are working at probably less than they might earn elsewhere.
Yeah.
To be a part of a community. So I fully support those who are our first responders. They do a marvelous job. Mm-hmm. I think the city is doing a better job now of caring for those who make it all work, and that is caring for the employees of the city. We are systematically getting pay levels to what they should be, and we're acknowledging the value of employees of the city. The city's greatest assets go home every night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we really need to take care of them, and I think we're doing a pretty good job there. And with this new budget that we will pass, it will be in effect for 2019 and 2020. We're going to step it up again and take care of those who take care of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're doing a good job there. I think we have a pretty good vision for where we need to go. The master plan roads, for instance, and master plan infrastructure, everything from sewer to storm drains to this fiber network. Every time we open the street up, we're putting in conduit so we can put in fiber, ultimately.
Yeah.
And I just got in my email today a schematic of how much of that is in place.
And
we have 17.1 miles of conduit that's ready to receive fiber. And if we could couple that with what UDOT already has in the ground and other things, I think we could get to our answer. I don't mean to be a one-trick pony, but to get to our answer on broadband sooner than later.
Yeah.
But so I think those are the things that the city is doing well. If you change that question and you ask me what we could do better, I would launch.
That's fine.
I would launch off that point and simply say we could do a better of putting in place a formal long-range plan. Mm-hmm. We had a plan done back in 2012, but it was a plan to plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think we can do a better job of staying ahead of things, involving the community in looking forward. That's one of the things that I think, the mayor has signed up for that, and I know there are members of the council that are as well. But
that's great.
Then you can avoid controversies like on Westview Drive. A lot of people are blindsided by the expansion plans. It's probably been, planned for years, but if there's an actual master plan that someone can look at before they say, hey, I'm going to live here, then it's like, oh, okay, I know this is coming. I'm buying this house with full knowledge that this is what it's going to be eventually.
And that's a very good case in point. I don't know how many on Westview Drive are going to do this, but
we love you guys.
Yeah, that's right, we do. That is part of an overall master plan road arrangement that will give us north and south corridors. The county has one further out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we won't end up being like St. George. Yeah. I don't know if you've been on St. George Boulevard at any point in the afternoon, but it's just painful.
Yeah, I try not to.
Yeah. No, you do. And now they're scrambling trying to find workarounds. And I think Westview Drive is a, like I say, a case in point of what we need to do to have those corridors. Mm-hmm. We need the east-west ones as well. But sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun on.
No.
We can improve on
that. No, this is your time. This
just
is
naturally led there.
Right. Well, you've kind of touched on some of the things that, you know, the city does well, some things we can improve on. Do you have any specific goals that you want to accomplish if you're reelected to a second term?
I want to get that long-term plan in place and help that happen. And the Chamber of Commerce has gone through a great exercise called Vision 2050, mm-hmm. and I want to support that and get that in place. That will help us fill some gaps, things that we can do better.
Let me just plug in here. We had Chris McCormick on, so if you are curious about Vision 2050, it's episode 13. And you can go and explore all of what Vision 2050 is. It's a really, really cool project that is probably on the verge of being implemented in the next, I don't know, several months, something like that.
It will be implemented during the rest of this year. And it'll be just a great blueprint for what we want to do as a city. Those things take time. Mm-hmm. I understand that. And we don't want to create a plan that is a check that box. Okay, we got a plan. We can put it on the shelf.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It needs to be evergreen, and it needs to be reviewed with great regularity because things any further out than 2 or 3 years are someone's pipe dream anyway, and we need to revisit those things.
Battle plans don't survive the battlefield.
No, they don't. Yeah. They don't. And so we've got to get a mechanism in place to make that happen on a regular basis. That would be one of my goals. I've already overplayed my hand on broadband, but I want that to happen.
Sure.
My last stop with Arthur Andersen, I was in Silicon Valley.
Okay.
And I watched technology companies just grow out of sight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had clients that went from their garage, where we met with them before they got venture capital funding, to over $500 million in annual sales in less than 7 years.
Wow.
Now, that's a ride. I mean, that's really something.
Now you see companies I have that expect- 7 months.
Yeah.
No, that's right. I have that expectation of all my clients.
Yeah. I'll be right in.
But the point is, technology is just such a wonderful thing for this community in particular. Mm-hmm. We can have a lot of technology businesses here that aren't high water users, that will bring us higher paying jobs.
Yes.
We're in a situation right now where housing costs, and you know this better than any, housing costs have outstripped the ability of our people to buy that housing. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to watch the trend toward lower income housing, less expensive housing. Mm-hmm. The market is responding as it should, but I would love to have more technology businesses here. I'd love to have a data center or have people here who were working as an extension of Google
because they're the
Oracle
two,
or anyone else for that matter.
The two parts to affordable housing. There's one part is how much does that home cost? Mm-hmm. The second part is what is your income? Yeah. Both of those things go together. So you have to address both of those issues when you talk about affordable and attainable housing.
Yeah. So I would like to push the drivers that drive us toward higher annual per capita incomes and allow us to have the housing that we all need to grow in a logical way. And I really believe that the underpinning of a strong technological base is important to that kind of growth.
Yeah. I mean, you see that tech touching almost every sector, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at our manufacturing facilities. You know, it's not just people pulling levers in a building anymore. It's a, you know, you look at a company like CyberJet, they're doing a lot of computer-assisted design, and really, they for all purposes, they're a tech company, because mm-hmm. they're in aerospace, and that's yeah. pretty technical.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's right. I mean, I would love, I'm still looking forward to the people out at MSC Aerospace really starting to manufacture cyber jets
yeah.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is ready to go if they can get the avionics approved by the FAA. But that's 1,000 to 1,200 jobs over a 10-year period, and very nice, high-paying
right.
jobs.
Yeah.
And so...
There's some exciting things happening. Some
there
really
are.
Cool things.
There
really
are.
Cool things.
And I would like to, in that context of looking forward, I'd like to help our neighbors understand things like this residential development overlay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was such angst over the most recent RDO that we passed as a council. And yet, that is the most logical way
right.
to look forward
yeah.
and understand what the impact will be on a community and on a particular part of the community as it is developed. We get a complete forward look
mm-hmm.
and a fairly complete view of what's going to happen as mm-hmm. an area develops. And I'd like to help people understand that. I don't know. Above all, my goal is to represent the full city. Okay? Not just people on Lay Hill or out in Fiddler's Canyon, but the rich and the poor, and the well-heeled and the needy, and just represent everybody's interests.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope for the wisdom of Solomon in making those decisions. But I think that I've got enough background to be able to step back and look at things clearly in an economic context
mm-hmm.
as well as a fairness context
mm-hmm.
to others.
So as a parting question, let's say you're stuck in an elevator with somebody for a couple of minutes. What is your quick pitch for why me?
Well, I think in terms of the ability to understand the finances, and they're big in the city, there's not anyone any more qualified on the council or aspiring to the council. I think I bring that to the table. I'm not sure I would say this in the elevator. But I would like people to look and see my record
yeah.
of dealing with people, with humankind. And I think that they would come to understand that I love people. I am very much a people person, which is a little odd for an accountant.
You got the popular image of the guy in suspenders in a dark corner.
Yeah, that's right, with the green eye shade and the bah humbug
yeah.
view of the world. But I really think that if they would step back and see that I can bring that to bear, that I would be a valuable part of the council. So, and I will tell you, I have never really understood what being an incumbent meant. But there is a learning curve that is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And I now have a real good understanding of how this city works and can help to put those pieces together so that we do the right things as we go forward. I think that's what I would say.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
Well, thank you so much for coming
yeah.
out and talking to us today, Craig. We really appreciate having you.
Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Color Country Politics, and we will see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.